I'd start off today by talking about a modelling approach that's been popular in Australia for a decade or more, French and Schultz. It's, many people over here may not have heard of that, but it's a transpiration-based modelling approach proposed by DeWitt many years ago from Wageningen. Of course, simulation models, one of the problems with simulation models or limitation is they need lots of data. And this is particularly an issue when we try and deal with the problem of spatial variation of crop yield. We're talking about, in this case, an example, a field in Victoria, in southern Australia, 85 hectares. The yield from our yield maps vary from zero in many places of the field to 3-4 tonnes per hectare. The rainfall zone, 300 to 400 millimetres, winter dominant rainfall. The soils are believed to be the major cause of this yield variation. And this is proposed to be due to soil water extraction and therefore crop transpiration. And so one of the ideas is to try and help farmers manage this variation by understanding the mechanism. The precision ag people dominantly have looked at this from a statistical point of view, trying to class yield in various parts of the field. So what we started out was to look at, was to try and measure what was the issues of the soil. And we identified subsoil constraints, dominantly salt, but also high levels of boron. We used this common EM38 machine from Geonix in Canada. And this actually measures the conductivity of the soil, electrical conductivity. Come in, there's plenty of room, and it measures the in a non-linear way in the profile. In a vertical mode, the maximum sensitivity is at 0.4 metres, and this is fairly ideal for crops root zones. There's a horizontal mode of the EM machine. Its maximum sensitivity is in the surface, and that is less useful, particularly if it rains during the operation of mapping. This is a typical map that we would make. We would make 30 metre, up to 60 metre transects across a field, recording every 1 second, and then we would Krieg that map and interpolate it to obtain a scale. This is calibrated against the soil EC, 1 to 5, and I've coloured the yellow there at indicating 0.6 decisiemens, the level that starts to affect significantly the root growth of wheat. And when the farmer saw this field of his 100 hectares, he was very alarmed. But it's not alarming because agronomists subsequently have confirmed that this is high salt and he can only grow wheat there with long 12-month fallows. The calibrations are fairly tight. Root mean square error 0.15, that's fairly good and fairly consistent throughout our part of the world, and it's the same occurs in many other places as well. But there are calibration problems, site and time specific issues. The EM's a function of the soil type, the clay content, the water content, salt content and temperature. And temperature is particularly a problem, but you can correct for it for making hourly adjustments at the calibration site or making temperature corrections post data collection. But the calibration options are very interesting because you can go for this multivariate calibration, more accurate, but rather impractical, and I'll show why. The water content can be determined from the EM reading, which is the electrical conductivity, clay content and, say, chloride content. But you need to do this for every point in the field. And for a laboratory scientist, this sounds very good, but actually is very impractical. And we get quite low errors using this method. 7 millimetres per metre of profile, or 9 millimetres in a horizontal mode. If you go for a single variate, less accurate but very practical method, you double the error, but it's still quite low, in fact. The error goes up from 7 millimetres to 15 millimetres per metre. Looks good, still R-squared, high 0.95. When you compare that with the error that you get in water use, crop water use across fields or in plots, it's typically 10 to 40 millimetres, maybe 60 in some clay soils. So this level of error across a field is probably makes it quite useful. And so these are typical maps we make. This is 150 hectares over in the Mallee part where we have dune and swale. So we have clay soils, around 30% clay up to 4% clay on the sand dunes. So you can see here there is white, very low water content, 0.05 volumetric water content up to 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 on the heavy parts of the field. Calibrations of water content, though, show more variation than the EC because of the variation that occurs across that field in salt and clay. So these are confounded calibrations. But the error, overall, 14 millimetres per metre, quite acceptable for farming to look at the water content that's there. And so we can make maps at sowing time on the left there with its calibration, and then after harvest with its calibration, and they're different, subtract one map from the other, obtain water use by adding the rainfall, and that's more closely related to the yield obtained. So this is highest yield at the highest water use, not the highest water content, as you might originally have thought. And so we can use this relationship between the ECA on the axis, x-axis there, water content at sowing time, have upper limit, lower limit points already determined, determine the water content map. We then can work out the water use by subtracting the sowing water content from the lower limit, adding rainfall. And notice those maps kind of invert because of the convergence of the lower limit line to the actual starting point at that time. Work out soil evaporation, a function of water content, clay content here. Again, this is based on some assumptions. Multiply by transpiration efficiency and obtain what we call French and Schultz simulated barley yield across the field, ranging from 1.6 to 5.2 tonne per hectare. Compare that with the measured yield from the yield map, 0 to 3.5 tonne per hectare. Very similar pattern from this fixed transpiration model, but we've added variable soil evaporation and water use. But it identifies this pattern across that field, but there was a yield gap of 1.6 tonne per hectare. This is uncalibrated, just determined straight from literature data. What's the hypothesis here? What's going on? Well, we think this graph here, if I get the mouse coming again, lower limit graph here, on one sowing time, if this is the water content here, you get higher yield on the clay soil, whereas other years, if you start off here, this will be the high yield on the high parts of the field, the low water content. So, to conclude, the single variate calibrations of spatial EM provide comparable errors to measuring these parameters, EC, water, clay and chloride. EM38 is a practical economic method to identify areas of subsoil constraints. Grab a glass of water, please. And what it means is, knowledge of this means more crop yield, more money. This is the whole point for farmers. Thanks. We argue that two EM maps or one EM map and a lower limit map can work out the water use across the field spatially. Water use maps, not the water content, can help determine the potential yield maps, the gaps, and help us work out new input strategies. Often not where to put your money or where to put fertiliser in our case, but where not to put it, where you would not put it. And in water-limited environments, the seasonal rainfall distribution will affect this degree of spatial flip-flop in yield that we do see in fields, and this certainly needs further testing. It's a very simple model, but it uses less data, and this transpiration model, we call French and Schultz, we think offers scope to predict yield maps that is problematic with the more complex models needing lots of data across a field. Thank you.
Come on in, there's plenty of seats here. Do we have time for questions for Gary? So, do we have any questions from the audience? Yes.
You may have mentioned that, is there any topography? Differences in topography this field?
Yes, a little bit of topography differences, some meters up to 10 meters. It's particularly valuable when you have that kind of topography. Yeah, but in that field there was only a few meters variation, but we've found up to 20 meters across fields.
Other questions?
What do you mean by two EM maps?
Sowing and harvest. People have done EM maps and they think they can only do, it's just a once off forever. But because we're trying to chase water, that's what varies. And we're trying to get around using one by having some lower limit map determined already.
I have another question. Back to the topography, did you look at the idea of the wetland index or landscape attributes?
Yes, many people have looked at this in other studies, we haven't specifically, and have found particular parameters. Elevation, aspect have been well correlated to these things. The problem with that though is when you go to a new field, what's the model? And it doesn't work. So we're trying to bring some biophysics into this game of water supply, particularly in dry places. That's the idea.
Jerry, you said the EM38 is practical and economic. Would you envisage a system where you put the instruments on the back end of a compound or something, so you do it all at once, or you always would go back out there to do it after?
We think, yes. We don't think you'll be doing it afterwards. Probably you could actually take some measurements at some parts of the field, either with sensors or measurements, and then jack up and predict what it is across the whole field. That's one way we're exploring that to work, and that would be very economic. But economic EM is $5, $10 a hectare. It's not too bad cost for large areas. Whereas if you did that multivariate idea of soil sampling the whole place with the grid, it costs you $100,000 for 100 hectares. You couldn't do it. It's not even in the game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but there are cheaper ways that you may get around. That's what that lower limit was about. And now we're trying to work out that jack up where we are on the curve. Can we make a more robust model of that, rather than just go from statistical many years data building this sort of zones and then suddenly find it shifts another year? That's the idea.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks.